Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 248. This show is brought to you by Bleeding Fingers. That's right. We'll get to that in a minute. Didn't record last week because I am a bitch, and I managed my time poorly. So I needed to pack up a bunch of stuff and be ready because Friday I drove. We normally record on Thursdays or so. Friday I needed to leave for work and a moto event. Like I was going to drive from Howard to Salida, work the day, and then drive from Salida to Gunnison and do a Saturday-Sunday moto trials event. And I just ran out of time. So sorry, but yeah, the event was really hard. The Gunnison event, is notorious for being set fairly difficult, and they did not disappoint, or they did disappoint. It was fucking hard. So I did not do that well. Well for myself in the sense that every loop was better than the loop before, but other people did really well. Saturday, there was a section I just straight up could not ride. I like half-assed my five. I failed it, and then half-ass did kind of make it through the next time, and then the last time I just straight up shit-mixed myself and failed it again. And there was another section that I saw someone much better than me struggle with something, and I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, and it worked. But it scared the ever-loving shit out of me. And then the next two times, I just did not commit, and I failed. And I'm trying to think if there was any other grand failures that day. And then the next day, a couple of fiascos. On Sunday, things weren't quite as hard, but they were still pretty out of reach. Some of the stuff was pretty out of reach for me. So,
does the term fiasco come from Moto Trials, or did Moto Trials adapt fiasco?
I mean, I'm sure the word fiasco was around long before Moto Trials.
I don't know. That's my question.
I'm going to look it up.
Fiasco origin? Oh, she's typing in a word etymology. Jesus Christ.
The word fiasco literally means bottle in Italian, evolving through the theatrical slang from the phrase far fiasco to make a bottle into a term for a total failure. It entered English language in the mid-19th century from French.
Boom. So it came from Moto Trials.
Okay, Kenny.
How many people do you think have Googled the etymology of etymology? It's probably a lot, right? Like most of the people who would do that would probably, it's like putting a label maker label on your label maker.
I'm not high enough for this, Kenny, but the next day there was a couple of sections that were just really hard, weird. I like struggled through them. And then one section I killed the bike in, and then another section, I totally ate shit. Like, it was bad. I'm pretty sure that and part of the loop contributed to a very slightly sprained ankle because it hurts to walk on after about 5 o'clock every day.
So how did the multi-day situation work? Did you stay at a hotel, stay at a buddy's house, camp in your car?
Fuck, no, man. I have a 230-900 swag, and I slept in a swag beside my truck. I showered out of a jerry can. Andrea was really, really amazing and made me a bunch of food. So I had three meals a day. I got up. I would have coffee out of a French press and leave the rest for my friends. And then I would eat like fully cooked bratwurst for lunch. I didn't want to heat them up or anything because it was pretty hot. And then in the evening, I had this amazing like cold pasta salad that was pasta and carrots and onions and bell peppers and smoked chicken with this really light like ranch vinaigrette style sauce on it. It was pretty cool.
Creamy lemon vinaigrette.
Yeah, and yeah, it worked out great. It rained a little bit every day. We were at Hartman Rocks, which is just a very beautiful place, and it was a really cool thing. And actually, I haven't read it yet because from the time I leave work on Thursdays till the time we're done recording, I'm pretty much full tilt. But on Saturday, I had the luxury of doing new rider minder. So if someone comes to their first event with Rocky Mountain Trials Association, the event is free. You do need to be an AMA member because of like insurance reasons and stuff like that, but you don't have to be an RMTA member and you don't have to pay for your first event. And it was this gentleman's first event. throughout the day, found out he was riding his first Moto Trials event at 73 years old, and he was an absolute gem of a human. When possible, the club sends someone out with people. You know, if you're there with your buddies and they're riding, then you go out with them. But if you're flying solo, then the club will try to, you know, have someone go with them. And we talk up a little bit about rules and a little bit about, like, being a minder, you can help them understand and navigate the section and talk about some things to do. And one, he was a very kind person. Two, he was very coachable and very respectful, in the sense that he's old enough to be my father and then some. But, like, he thanked me multiple times. He couldn't believe that I was helping him. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't know where he got my number from someone, but on my way home, I got a text that was like, thank you again. And it's such a cool community to be a part of. And then let's see, Monday I slept most of the day because I was just absolutely whooped. Then I've been cleaning up my crap, helping my buddy put together a new bike out of, well, new old frame parts bin thingamajigger. So I've been putting together a wood smoke with some Shimano 1x11, a SID fork, alloy wheels, GX crank, and some Kook mustache bars. Let's see. Still haven't found somewhere locally to sandblast my Esker frame, so I can't paint it, but my buddy picked me up paint, so I have really nice, high-quality fluorescent pink paint that bike will be adorned with. And I snagged a 1987 limited edition transmission group for that bike. So that's going to be really cool. It's going to have some really wild paint job with silver transmission, with silver level brakes, Roval wheels. And yeah, it's going to be rad. And then what else did I do?
You cut your finger throwing rocks.
Oh yeah, the bleeding fingers. Andrew and I went down to the river Tuesday night, and we were just goofing around and kind of like playing in the water like little kids and using rocks to make a little dam and divert water and just having a fun
just
time.
Fucking around.
Yeah, just goofing off in the river. And it's not our normal going to spot. And this is a lot of, like, in the geological sense, new rock. I didn't realize how sharp some of it was. Andrea started skipping rocks and I was like, this one looks like it'll skip. And I picked it up and I never really like look at them. I have this thing about skipping rocks that, like, I don't know if I've ever said this out loud even to Andrea, but like, you just pick one up and you got to commit. And I was doing the thing where I was like spinning it in my like hand to find a good spot to like hook my finger so I could really get some spin on it. And I threw it and I watched it hit the water and I was like, that's not good. And I looked down and there was blood dripping off my finger. It cut the bejeepers out of me.
It bounced off the water straight up into the air. It was the weirdest skip I've ever seen a rock do.
Yeah. And I don't know that I really saw what happened because my brain sort of was like, danger, danger. And I've now been doing the whole cut a rubber glove into a finger condom and try to keep your Band-Aid from getting totally destroyed while working. And also, this is the index finger on my dominant hand, and it's fun working on bikes while your hand hurts. So last thing that's really cool, today I got to work on a damn near bone stock. It's not a 2011. We looked it up on the Cannondale catalogs, but I kind of was running out of time with the customer, so I didn't get to dig in. It's probably a 2012 or 13 CAD 10-6, I think. So the 105 one, and it's bone stock. Has the FSA crank, still has the Cannondale bar stem, Pro Logo
it's
saddle.
One of the best road bikes ever built.
Yeah. And I, like, no joke, I was like, hey, man, I'm really glad you brought this in to work on, or for us to work on. And he seemed like a little dismissive at first. And I was like, you might think I'm joking or like maybe being condescending. I was like, I'm not. I was like, I parked that on the porch so I could look at it every time I walked by until you picked it up. I was like, I love CAD 10s. I was like, I had one. It's an amazing bike. And every time I see one, da da da. And like, he asked me another question or two about it, so I like wheeled it back inside. And he's like, wait, did you clean this? And I was like, yeah, dude. And he's like, he's like, I bought this, like, I was like, probably like 2011 or 12. He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't remember it ever being this clean in like recent years. And I was like, I don't know, man, these bikes are dope. Like, and I pulled out my phone and I was like, I even like took a cool picture of it because like I just really like these bikes. And he's like, well, that's really cool.
This guy was like, hey, I need to go, man.
No.
Just give me my bike. You're being weird.
Quit being weird with my bike, man. Did you like, what else did you touch on my bike? With what body parts? On it?
I did not rub my remaining testicle on that bike. And if for somehow this is the first episode you've ever listened to, I lost a nut and we're not getting into it more right now. Let's see. And then is there anything else? Yeah, driving to Gunnison back in the new to me Frontier. Like, I mean, I know I've had it a couple of months now, but like that truck's just dope. It cruises down the highway at like 75 in the rain and just AC on, just totally cruising. It's awesome. I'm real stoked that I have it. It's just a easy to drive. Like, and there's nothing about it that's like extra cool. It's just, it's nice enough to be nice and it cranks and it goes well. And yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty overall stoked with things right now. I do have to buy some parts for my trials bike because when I ate shit tremendously, I broke the throttle cable cover thing the fuck off. And then on the next loop, before I rode the section, I walked into the section and I found the piece and then I went and duct taped it back on. And then for the record, I didn't look at any scores. I've stopped looking at scores, but I decided that it was either going to be like really good or really bad. And I cleaned that section on the last loop and it was absolutely just scary shit because, it was a very big, like, very easy section in some ways, but very high consequence section in others. I should have taken pictures of it, but I didn't want to think more about it. So, yeah, that's my week. Someone else should start talking. That Kenny? Person is Kenny.
Yeah. So nothing crazy. I think I rode moto both weekends. I think it's the third week out at that place outside of Camas, which is outside of Park City. Just still trying to get up high. It's insanely hot here. And yeah, had a good time. Found so much single track out there. There's some like rowdy ass shit out there. And there's so much single track. I had no idea there was that much in that high alpine stuff. And I say high alpine, like high alpine for Utah. And there's just a lot of stuff there. And it's pretty close to civilization. So yeah, super dope. Went with a coworker the last week. And yeah. Had a good time. Found some cool stuff. Ended up stumbling across, by the way, in one spot where it was an intersection of maybe four different trails. You'll see definitely an enduro person out every once in a while on another 300. But no joke, there was a train of like 50 people. It was absolutely bananas. So many people.
Like the old Wolf River group ride days.
It was crazy.
Like 50 back.
But it was just a zillion motos. So just wild. Anyway,
that happened to me once when I was the one time that I was like extraordinarily fit and got a ride up to Monarch Crest. And I'm like, it was like a weekday or something. So there weren't a ton of people out there. And I was like, I'm going to see if I can do the QOM for the entire fucking Monarch Crest route. And I just hammered everything. And then I got on the Rainbow Trail and there are some motos coming and I pulled over. And the guy's like, there's 12 more behind me.
Yeah.
And it was like, he was the fast guy. And it was everyone from like the fastest guy to just this guy that he was wearing like, he looked like Winnie the Pooh. I don't mean like a shirt with no
pants.
But
you'd seen him a bunch of times that year.
Yeah. And then I saw him more like I saw like other groups out and like he would always be at the end of the line. He just super friendly. Like I wasn't like, I'm not going to be pissed off about that. I was disappointed at the situation.
But like the last dude, not only did you wait for him, but the story is the last dude stopped and wanted to talk for a while.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm like in a hurry. I guess it doesn't matter now. Like it's already, I've been here for like 5 minutes waiting for all these motorcycles to come through. Cause it was on like a part of the trail where there's just not a lot of room. Like it's just blind corners and a little bit of exposure. And like, you know, you just don't want to meet a moto head on, even if they're not going that fast.
go ahead, but I have something that I forgot.
Yeah, this guy's in like yellow and red, like Winnie the Pooh colors. He's like got a belly and he's just wanted to stop and talk. And I'm like, man, I was friendly to everyone I met that day. I wasn't an asshole to anyone about trying to go really fast. But like that was the downfall of it. Like I had the time until then and then it was gone. That was it. But yeah, big train of motos.
Kenny, you going to go or can I tell my other story from the weekend?
You can tell your other story.
I forgot about this until just now. But so we had a moto event last weekend. The weekend before, I did some stupid shit. So I bought one of those cheap gas trials bikes. And my buddy Hannah, she bought one from Trial Superstore in Scottsdale, Arizona. But she committed to buying it after he was already heading up here. Have we recorded since the Nationals? We have.
Yeah.
So it was the weekend after Nationals we did this. And Mike from Trial Superstore had already left to come to the National, so he couldn't deliver it. And then her beta had failed on her, and it was at the shop, and she had committed to buying the bike, and the beta failed, and she didn't know if she was going to have a bike for Gunnison. So her husband was going to go pick it up for her, and I was like, fuck it, I'll go with him. Or she was stressing, and I was like, fuck it, like me and Josh can just go get it. So Josh picked me up on Sunday morning at 6:20 a.m. By the time we got to Cortez, I had decided that if I was not asleep, I was car sick, and his driving was not going to work for me. So I drove from Cortez to Scottsdale. Mike met us at the store on Sunday afternoon. We picked up the bike. It was 106 degrees and the most humid it could possibly be because they had had torrential rain like the day before. They still had the flood signs out and there was still like sand everywhere on the roads. And we picked up the bike. We went to the Airbnb. We put a bunch of parts on the bike that she had ordered that Mike hadn't installed because she didn't pay him to install them. And then we went to dinner. And then the next morning we got up and I drove from Scottsdale to Howard. So we were gone for 35 hours. We were back here at 5:20 p.m. It was stupid.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun doing that kind of random shit.
Yeah, and Josh is 26 or so years old.
I was going to say, it's more fun when you're in your 20s.
Yeah. And let's just say that I made him listen to 3-6 Mafia and Project Pat. His little Jewish brain could not comprehend the things that... that he heard or were said.
Lil Dicky. They're talking about, you know, Jew and rap. Lil Dicky is Jew rap.
Okay, I didn't know that. But Eminem is the only white rapper in my book.
I gotcha.
But
all right. What are you, racist?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what else have you been getting into, Kenny?
So yeah, we did that motor ride, saw a zillion people out there. Maybe halfway through, we passed a group of two people, I guess one person, the slower guy, we passed him and we came to an opening and saw his buddy and we stopped and we chatted for a minute. And I can't remember how the conversation went. And I'm definitely reticent talking to moto people or riding with random moto people after that incident that I had a couple of years ago where that dude almost killed himself. And then I had to go like extricate him and his motorcycle from the woods because he insisted on riding with me. So like, I don't want to ride with random people if I don't have to. But anyway, we ended up riding with them and they were of similar skill level. So had a good time and they ended up being in the, don't need to go in the details, but one of the guys is in the cycling industry and yeah. So who knows, might ride with those folks in the future.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And most, generally speaking, most moto people that I have met, at least like trail style moto people, are usually extremely nice. But I just got unlucky with my interaction that one time. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll happen.
No good deed goes unpunished, right?
I vaguely remember that. It sounded terrible.
Yeah. I mean, the moral of that story was I was unpacking my shit in the parking lot and I was like, you know, had an agenda. I was on a brand new motorcycle, literally first ride. I was trying to do break-in stuff on it. And, you know, this dude comes up to me as I'm like literally about to take off after I'm like fully geared up, get everything unloaded, lock the car. And he's like, hey, man, can I ride with you? And I'm like, I mean, like, I guess, but here's all the shit that I'm doing. And like, what level of rider are you? Anyway. And he just ended up being like literally his first day on a fucking motorcycle, which he didn't really say when I asked him his skill level. He's like, oh, I don't know, intermediate. And yeah, you're fucking not intermediate, buddy. And he was on a, I just assumed he was on a very nice 300, like a brand new KTM 300. And he had the gear. Nothing looked that out of place, except like the first hill we went up. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. And yeah, and he ended up absolutely eating shit. But it was like an hour into the ride. We're way far away from the car. And he just whiskey throttles this fucking motorcycle literally off the mountain on a moderately tech section. He like cross-rutted himself and just yeeted the motorcycle. And he ended up breaking off both levers from the bar in the crash. So, and like fully not salvageable. Not like he broke the lever. He broke the actual perch off of the handlebar on both the clutch and the front brake. And so I've got an inexperienced guy who has to now, A, he had some like asthma attack and I thought he was actually going to like die out there. I was have to give this fucker CPR. And I'm not kidding. And so after he like...
That's having asthma attack.
Yeah. After he drug his body off the mountain, I had to go get his motorcycle that is now off the mountain with no clutch and no front brake. And I managed to get it back on the trail. And I'm explaining to him how he's going to have to ride this bike with no clutch back to the car. And he basically refuses to ride it. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, look, man, here's how you're going to do it. You got it. Just follow me. You're going to be fine. I'm also... You know, my other thought is I'm just going to handle this and I'm going to ride this fucking motorcycle back. But that motherfucker is not getting on my goddamn brand new Husqvarna 350. Ain't fucking happening. Just I was already being a nice guy, but that was the fucking line. That shit was not happening.
Have you talked to the guy again since then?
No, he like texted me at some point after that and he's like, you want to ride again? And I just completely ignored it. Oh my God. Anyway, so.
Sorry, man. Wrong number.
Yeah. So that whole story was he basically refused to ride this motorcycle out. So I had to go ride an hour back to my car. Now, granted, it was an hour out there. I made it back in like 30 minutes because I was going 85 miles an hour. And I make it back to my truck, load my fucking motorcycle in my truck, drive another 45 minutes out there to go get him. Load his bike up in the car, and he's completely incapable of loading this thing. So I, by myself, loaded a fucking limp 350 into the back of my truck, strapped it all down, went back to his car, had to help unload it, load it back in his truck. Like, it was a fucking disaster. So that was the first ride on my motorcycle, and that's why I don't talk to people on the trail anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you don't really have the... Like, people don't talk to me on the trail, but I've learned that it's because I have some sort of an aura about me that scares people.
Yeah, people want to talk to me a lot and I usually don't want to talk to them. Yeah. And that was, again, people mean well. There's a lot of really nice people. Again, most of the gas enduro style people that I have met have been nothing but super nice. And, you know, I'm sure if something happened to me, they would be willing to like help me get out of the trail. Right. So I want to leave some good karma where I can, but yeah, anyway, that was just a unlucky bad experience.
Yeah. I mean, but like in that situation, you would just like
hold. That guy was going to go and ride that by himself until he noticed you were there.
Yeah, I mean, you would just shift it into first and then like just start it. And
dude,
I mean, it's e-start.
Dude,
so you just like crack the throttle and hold the starter until that bitch is going.
It was
and
like
just
a child.
Deal
it was
with
like
it.
A child. He refused to do it or attempt to do it. It was bizarre. I tried for 5 minutes. To show him how to do it. I even wrote it. Like, I showed him how it works. I'm like, here's what you're going to do, man. It's in fucking gear. It's going to fucking go when you hit the goddamn starter. It's got enough chooch that it just starts it and goes in first gear. It's not great for the bike, but you're going to do it one time. It's going to be fucking fine. When you're done riding or you get scared or whatever the fuck, just just slam on the fucking rear brake. It kills the motor and the bike comes to a stop, dude. Or hit the kill switch. I don't care. And he just refused. He fucking refused to do it. It was a very bizarre. The whole thing was such a bizarre interaction. At many times during that thing, I was like, is this fucking real? Is this actually happening right now? I've been with plenty of buddies where some shit's gone wrong, but like we're buddies and you can like communicate and like, we're going to help, you know, shit's going to happen. And we're going to like fix it and get out. And it's always fine. And it's a fun story afterwards. This was not one of those times.
I mean, I'm laughing about it now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can laugh about it now, but yeah. So it's also a running joke with my whole friend group. Basically, if we're in the parking lot and somebody comes up to us and I just give them that look and I just want to tell that person to fuck off. Yeah. Anyway,
I think a good rule would be, look, you lead for 5 minutes. I will decide if I will ride with you after that.
Yeah, for sure. Lesson learned. But I think at some point he also mentioned, not that I care about this, but he's like, hey, can I ride with you? Like, my wife said I can't ride alone. Now I know why.
Oh, my God.
You came out here alone.
Like,
he told her he was riding with buddies.
I guess so. I don't know.
All right.
So that's my story.
Does that mean it's
it's your turn.
All right. So let's see what all has happened. I've been out in the woods a little bit. I've been turning animal hides into leather. I'll go with the less exciting news first. I picked up... So in Colorado... Colorado's got this really annoying habit. I mean, I haven't been here for relatively that long, like 11 years now. There's like this annoyingly bad habit they have of kind of making these laws and things without fully...
Drinking the claws?
Yeah, without drinking claws. Yeah, ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, but... they make some laws and then they don't really have like an action plan set out before the law goes into effect. First example would be like the wolf reintroduction, which I'm not really going to get into like whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I have heard from or I've seen accounts from people who are more knowledgeable about it than I am that voters said we want to reintroduce wolves into Colorado by this date. And they just weren't fucking ready by that date. Like they didn't have wolves that didn't eat livestock. They didn't have like a plan to like keep, you know, interaction between like livestock and wolves from happening. They didn't have a very good plan and it hasn't really gone well. More than half of the wolves that they reintroduced have died. So
fuck, that's yeah, way not, worse.
It's not great. The most recent one of those is they have, I guess, extended the requirements that you have to have starting August 1st to buy a semi-automatic rifle that has a magazine or a semi-automatic firearm with that's gas operated and has a magazine. They basically want to ban like AR-15 style rifles. Not ban, but you have to go through a very long and expensive process.
But they distinguish gas operated.
Because
Every modern bolt action rifle has a quote unquote magazine, even though it's like five rounds, right?
Yeah, it's gas operated.
Okay, good. It has to be
if it's gas operated, which means if you aren't familiar with that, that means that when the bullet comes through the barrel, there's like a little hole that some of the hot gases shoot into that circulates the gas back into the bolt, which pushes the bolt back and cycles the spent brass casing out and allows the next one to come in out of the magazine. That's gas operated versus
it makes it semi-automatic. It just uses gas to do it instead of just the inertia, the blowback of the,
right,
of the bullet.
Right. Yeah. Like I have a shotgun that is semi-automatic and that's
an inertia driven gun.
What'd you say?
It's inertia driven, right?
Yeah. Inertia driven, which means when the bullet comes out or the shot comes out of the barrel, that recoil it pushes the entire barrel back and opens up the chamber so that the spent shell comes out and the next one goes in. So it's not, gas operated in that the hot gases coming out of the barrel cause that recoil, but it's not the same thing. So this actually, the ones that are under this law are like the AR-15 style rifles, any of those semi-automatic style rifles, you have to go through a whole process, which actually, like, they haven't even really, like, the people who are in charge, like, you have to go to a sheriff for an extra background check and do an extra class, and they don't really have, like, those procedures in place yet. Like, it happened so quickly that they haven't been able to, like, really nail down how that's going to happen. And then today, so I wanted to get another one of those. I got a Ruger SFAR, which is small frame automated rifle or auto loading. Yeah, I think it's auto loading rifle is what the A stands for. It's basically a 308 rifle that's an AR-15 size, which is a little, it's going to be a little unwieldy, but it's very small and very light, which is a little scary for something that shoots that size of a round, but it's going to be fun. But because I waited until the last minute, I got one in a color that I don't like because that's what was available. It's like Desert Storm camo, and it's fucking ugly. And so when I picked it up today, I said, I'm going to hand this right back to you and check it in so you guys can Cerakote it a different color. And the guy behind the counter is like, well, we actually don't have instructions from the state yet about how we're supposed to handle servicing these rifles. And this law goes into effect on Saturday. So it just sucks. Like, that sucks. And I'm not against, like, some, I don't know, like, some regulations about firearms. Like, I don't always think that's a bad thing. I'm not one of those people that's like, every person,
I want my rocket launchers.
Yeah, like, it, you know, I get it. Like, some things need some regulation, but, like, don't be fucking stupid about it. Like, I don't know. Like, it was just, it's being done so poorly.
Unfortunately, that's the way with most gun regulations is that, you know, the one side that wants no guns versus the side that wants no rules with guns. And when they clash, this legislation that gets made, they just throw everything at the wall and they just see what sticks, basically. And so people with very little knowledge about what's happening, they don't really understand firearms and they don't really understand how firearms are used, whether it's in a crime or whether it is with hunting. They just don't understand them. And they just try to get, if all they care is tomorrow it is more restricted or tomorrow it's less restricted. That's all they care about. They don't give a shit about the actual details. They're like, oh my God, something stuck. That's great. We're fucking happy. And then it just it just fucks everybody and it makes the world so complicated.
And the thing that sucks is that because of exactly what you're talking about, because of people who are uneducated in any sort of firearms are making these laws, it makes the other group of people that want no laws just all that more,
it's,
like,
it's not just,
rabid about it.
Unfortunately, it's not just firearms. We see it in firearms very clearly. But it's in everything. It's in right to repair laws. It's in so many facets of the law where people that are making these rules are not the subject matter experts. That's the fucking problem.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's two things that should be talked about here. One is anchoring. You know, that's where you have to go to a far extreme.
You say, I want to ban these weapons.
Yeah.
Totally.
And like one group is going to say, I want to ban XYZ. And another group is like, not only should XYZ not be banned, but like, I want to be able to own a fucking like Sherman tank that's fully operational. And neither really wants that or knows they're not going to get that. But then as it draws in towards center, it like, it gets close.
It's just fucking
weird.
Yeah,
it just becomes, ugh. Yeah, we all know what's going on. It's garbage.
Well, but then the other one that I think is always going to be a problem with all of this, you know, especially with right to repair or anything in the modern tech sphere, is that legislation is always going to be outpaced by innovation. So, you know,
yeah, I mean, look at Surons and stuff, right? Like, look how long it took for people to understand what they were. And it's like, okay, yeah, these things are kind of not okay. Right. And I come from a long line of Surons, and clearly they're not okay to just rip around and do whatever the fuck you want on the street, even though, you know, one side of me always wants to see the world burn. I love nothing more than like to see a bunch of gaggle of kids like, you know, doing wheelie boy shit on two strokes down the fucking public road. I think that's fantastic personally.
We have that in our neighborhood right now. And I appreciate it. Matt does not like it.
But I understand. I understand that that is obviously not a road that we should go down, and that's not a good thing. I mean, my hillbilly side really likes that kind of stuff, but that's clearly not good for general society, right?
I wasn't ever going to bring this up publicly. The thing is like, I ride motorcycles, and my problem is I hear and see them riding motorcycles, and they flat out do not know what they're doing.
They ride like kids.
And they are going to... This is a lot like when Troy Laffey gets onto people for not wearing helmets. Like, I don't care if you die. But when one of those kids, like, is on their two-stroke, and that bitch gets on the pipe, and it gets away from them, and the number plate of that and the driver's headlight of my Frontier kiss, that's going to fuck up my day real bad. And it doesn't have to be me, but, like, it's going to fuck up somebody's day really bad, and one of them is going to get really hurt, and then it's going to be a whole fucking thing. And I just don't want it to be a whole fucking thing. Like, I just don't want to deal with the thing that I feel is coming. Like, straight up, one of my biggest fears when driving in Salida is there's a few places to cross a major bike path, and the problem is how far you can see in a car, like, down the bike path, is not compatible with how fast the kids on e-motos ride on the bike path. And I know that one day one of them is just going to, like, cave in the passenger door or the driver's door of someone's car, and it's just going to suck.
Yeah.
So maybe I just don't like fun, but they need to work on going slow. And they, like, I see how they break, and I'm like, you're going to fucking smoke something.
Imagine if there were no gun laws in the United States. Could you fucking imagine? Again,
I can only imagine.
I love fucking around and finding out to an extent. And I love a little bit of anarchy, but goddamn,
like,
it would be
anarchy.
Absolutely insane. There'd be people just, like, chucking grenades, and it would be out of control.
I mean, I would have mortars.
It would be, like, absolutely out of control.
Oh, yeah. Our property would be protected by claymores 100%.
Should we do that? Maybe if I'm supreme leader, we'll have one day. We'll have one, like, one day of no rules with guns.
Just walk down the street fucking shooting squirrels out of trees and shit.
No rules. Yeah. So you got one day to buy and use a rocket launcher or a tank or whatever. But then after that, you can't.
Wait, so hold on. But so there's, like, the rules of gun safety, but then there's, like, actual, like, the legal, like, laws. Like, would you still?
Yes.
You would still follow the rules of gun safety. Like, don't point a gun.
I mean, that's probably
something
that's
you don't
probably
want to
a
destroy.
Good plan.
And,
but all the shit that
yeah,
was illegal.
If not,
finger off the trigger.
If not, it would just be the purge.
All
but
the,
like,
shit that was illegal is now legal. So, yeah, you want to fucking drop a Hellfire missile off of an Apache.
Into the river.
Yeah, you want to somehow get a hold of an Apache and squeeze off a Hellfire, fucking go nuts. But
okay.
I think at that
should we
point,
talk about some bike
yeah,
stuff?
I mean, at that point, I think maybe that wouldn't work with the whole gun safety thing. I don't know that there's a safe situation where you can randomly squeeze off a Hellfire from an Apache and not affect other people and things. But
okay,
anyway, you get the
okay,
idea.
Okay, Kenny, I think I've found out the solution to what you're talking about. But you remember the draft and, like, based on your birthday or some digits in your social security number or something, people got drafted?
Sure.
Right? It needs to be like that. But when you are drafted or, like, lotteried in that same way, you get to go to your nearest armed forces base.
Yeah.
And you get to join, or you get to prescribe and lead and join, whatever you want to call it, any training mission with the equipment they have on hand.
I think that'd be great. You know, like in Vegas, how you can pay a bunch of money and get in, like, a huge excavator and just dig in this huge sandbox? It's the same
exactly that.
Look, there's this thing where you can pay money
to shoot a tank.
Well, yeah, you can do that, but you can pay money to go through, like, fake SEAL training with, like, a guy that was a Navy SEAL. Like, you can like, a 5-digit amount of money and pay to go and do that.
By the way, that would be just great marketing in general. Man, I really need to be supreme leader. That would be great. Yeah, one person
we need one person
per year gets a day or a week, maybe, probably a week. A week in the military if they choose. So if they draw your number and you say, yes, I want to do this, and if you say no, then they just go to the next person. But they have a whole thing that you do, and you just get to do all kinds of crazy shit. So yeah, you fucking, you're passenger seat in an Apache, and they're like, hey man, push that fucking button. And you're like, hell yeah. And you fucking hit that thing, and you shoot off a missile, and they drop you out of the back of an airplane and do all kinds of shit, and that'd be great. And then they just, like, follow you around with a camera, and it would be hilarious.
Man, I used to want to, like, when I was a kid, I watched G.I. Joe, like, all the time. And I was like, I want to do that someday. And then they're like, women can't be in the do that in the military. And I'm like, well, fuck them. I'm not going to do that. And that's when I started hating the government.
But let's talk about something you don't hate, your new bike.
Yeah, good segue. I got a new bike.
What is it?
So I've been talking about I'm going to get a new e-bike. And I've been saving money for a bike for a pretty long time, not knowing what I'm going to get, because I'd been kind of just having a good time on my old e-bike. I got the Specialized Levo R in the S-Works version because I was able to buy it through the shop, through Leadbello, because I would not be able to. I'm not a dentist, so I can't afford an S-Works at retail. So, yeah. I got one of those, and I have thoughts, because I've been having a fuck ton of fun on that thing.
I mean, and S-Works, even at EP pricing, is at least like dental hygienist.
Well, I mean, I've been saving money. Like, I have literally just been like, when I was just having all of the, like, body problems that are not as bad now, it's like, I'm just going to, like, squirrel money away and I'm going to have this little, like, fund, and when I figure out what I want, I'm going to get exactly what I want.
Did you have to sell any body parts?
No.
You could probably have sold some of the ones off that weren't doing very good anymore.
Yeah, probably. I could trade my right hand out for a hook and probably be happy. It's still, I mean, I have nerve damage in it. It still like hurts some, like it hurts now from riding today.
Put that shit on eBay, make it someone else's problem.
But it's not as intrusive to everyday life as normal. Now it's just like one of those things that just kind of hurts sometimes when I overdo it. But anyway, so if you don't know what the Levo R is, it's a shorter travel e-bike
with god-sized wheels.
It's got 29-inch wheels. If the regular Levo that's longer travel was not mullet only, I probably would have gone for one of those. But honestly, like, I mean, you just think of it as like a short travel trail bike. And I've taken...
Also short, you know, it's 140, 130, right?
Yeah.
It's not exactly a short travel bike. I mean, let's get real. Yeah. I mean, that was a trail bike from 5 years ago.
I mean, but compared to current trail bikes, it's short travel.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And compared to other e-bikes, right? Like, it is a short travel e-bike. It's basically like a cross-country e-bike, about as close as you're going to get. It's pretty light. It's, I think, 6 or 7 pounds lighter than my previous one. And it is just a totally different machine. And I don't mean, like, just all-out power. It does have, like, way more battery life. It's got more power. I think the other one was, like, 650 or something, and this one's 850. And it's just a totally different machine. Like, you can't even really compare the two, because the old one, the Live Intrigue, I think is what it was.
Yep.
That one was like just a bicycle shaped object with a motor on it. And that's what it rode like. You couldn't ratchet pedal because there's no like override. So as soon as, you know, you ratchet and then like the motor stops as soon as you stop pedaling, and the bike just, it's so heavy that it just stops. And plus like the engagement, when you would pedal, like it's not just the hub engagement with an e-bike. It's also like where the motor engages.
Yeah. You have two things that need to engage.
Yeah. Like this one is like instant. I mean, like there's no travel. Like as soon as you start to pedal, the motor is engaged, and it's totally different. Like even just handling it, weight aside, like you pick it up to put it in the stand and it feels like a normal bike. That's just heavier. Like it's not like back heavy or anything. Like it doesn't try to tilt weird. It's not awkward. It just goes right in the work stand, and it's fucking awesome. And like I wasn't too worried about the travel, because that's what, there's a lot of shit on the internet. Like when you read people talking about,
you like that 36SL?
36SL seems good. The Genie Shock is I definitely want, and someone asked me on Slack today, like, I thought every trail bike was supposed to have a dongle shock, and it should have a dongle shock on it. It's got the Genie Shock, which actually...
You need to coil that shit.
I don't want to make it that heavy. And plus, I don't know if you can get a coil in that size.
Oh, 100% you can.
But, yeah, I don't know about that, but I like how light it is, because if I'm doing Andrea shit in the woods and I'm someplace where there's a bunch of like trees and shit I have to carry it over, it's not a big deal. Like I can get it over stuff because one, it's just lighter, and two, like I said, when you pick it up, it's like picking up a normal bike. Like it's not awkward. And so the Genie Shock kind of like hits between a dongle shock and a standard, like your inline shock. It gets hot enough that like you don't really want to touch it. You're not going to like burn yourself in a second, like where your body just makes you jerk your hand away or something. But like if you're going down a long descent and you touch it with your leg, you're like, I don't want to have my leg there. Like it's that hot, but it doesn't fully like lock up hardtail style. Like, you know, I've taken some short travel bikes down some really stupid shit where you don't want a short travel bike. And like halfway down, you're basically, it feels like you're riding a hardtail. It doesn't do that. It's not that bad, but it definitely like it stiffens up a little bit. It just never goes like just fully kind of like locked up and uncomfortable. Other thoughts about it. It's super tunable. And I haven't even gotten into all of the tuning you can do with it, but you can adjust like the, not only the assist level, but how hard you have to be pedaling in order to get the assist level that you have set, which has a big impact on how like natural the ride feel is on it. So it's really just like, the best I can describe it is it feels like riding a normal bike, except it's just faster. So it's really awesome. Like I really, really like it. Let's see other things about it. I want some bigger tires for it just because I mean, my old one, I would ride it pretty much just like a regular mountain bike all the time, or just, you know, put it in like the higher boost mode to like get up a forest road just so I could see what was at the top and go hike around or something. But I actually enjoy riding this one like I would just ride a regular bike because it's everything but just faster. So yeah, I just, it's good. And I get really annoyed like when you read about like people talking about it online. They're like, yeah, this is the e-bike for people's wives that have, you know, like they have their e-bike and like they get this one for their wife because it's a short travel e-bike. It's like, well, first off, fuck you, that's sexist. And second, like, I don't know. It's just another class. It's just a short travel. If you think about regular bikes, normal bikes without a motor, you don't always want a long travel bike for this type of riding that you do. And really, like, riding this, what I've realized is since I moved to Colorado back in 2015, I really like just going out and exploring shit. And I can go out and just explore shit. And, you know, when I moved here, and up until, I don't know, around like 2020 or so, I had the fitness to just do that on a regular bike and cover a lot of ground and just be out pedaling around all day. And I don't really have that anymore. And so I can go and cover the same amount of ground and like just explore new shit. And I can do it on this bike and it's just a lot of fun to ride. So yeah, I took it out today and it's kind of funny. Like last week I rode some of Monarch Crest. I went out elk scouting and in the afternoon, like I was like, well, I'm going to ride out to this one spot and like do some classing in the evening and, you know, look for elk in this one area, like right off of Monarch Crest. And I rode out there and then it started to rain a lot. Like while I parked the bike and then I started to hike and then it started to rain. I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit like up above tree line with a fucking thunderstorm right over my head. That would be dumb. So I just kind of like went back and it stopped raining about the time I got to my bike and it was, you know, getting close to not quite dark, but you know, I knew it was going to take me like half an hour to ride back and just little calculation in my head. I'm like, well, I got enough battery. I'm just going to put this thing in turbo mode and ride Monarch Crest like I'm on a fucking motorcycle. And I did it, and it was fucking awesome. Like, it was just fun. So I had a good time. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun to ride and do some exploring.
So clearly, I know you've had an e-bike for a while, Andrea, but I mean, it seems like you get why people like e-bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can understand it. I still don't know if I'd really want to, like, I don't know, just go do like an hour ride on like the S Mountain trails or something. That would be, I think, maybe a little bit boring. And there's just a lot of people out there. Like it's less fun. Like you just don't go as fast if you're like always looking out for people. But you know, if you're riding the Monarch Crest Trail, like right at sunset, like there's no one out there on a weekday. Like you might pass like one hiker and you've got enough line of sight. You can like, you know, just slow down and let them know you're there and be nice to them. But yeah, it's good for the kind of stuff I want to do.
They're pretty fun.
All right. There's some new shit I have to talk about.
What you got?
All right.
So I've spent the last 10 minutes using the ELEIF.net photo measure tool, something that proved invaluable to my life when I was working at the Pro's Closet. And someone in Europe leaked a bunch of Trek 32er production bike photos. So, tell you what I know right now. It used a photo measurement tool, and I figured out that on their full suspension bikes, it's going to be close to like a 455, 460 chainstay, and on the hardtail, it is going to be close to a 451 chainstay. In very Trek fashion, the seat tube angle is very, very back, but the bottom bracket drop is coming in at about 90 millimeters, which is going to be just about the same pedal distance from the ground as like your standard 29er. So that's pretty cool. Then the other thing is someone at Trek is rolling in their graves or pissed off right now because there is a picture of a bunch of these bikes. So they have what has been rumored to be called a Superfly 32. Or Superfly of some version. And it looks like this is going to be a very pro-cal looking bike in the hardtail. And then there was another... God, that's hot. No, there's one with a purple sit on it. Jesus Christ, want that.
That's got a dongle shot. No, or is that flight attendant?
That's flight attendant.
Okay. And that's what I need from an e-bike.
Yeah, they are hot. So these things look dope. So it looks like Trek is going to be one of the first to market from the big brands with a 32. So not surprising at all if we go back and look at that, Travis Brown stuff, where, I mean, they were playing with 32s forever ago, back when the crappy unicycle tires were the only thing available. I've talked about that recently-ish. So yeah, there's definitely some cool stuff coming. So I'm really excited to see some of this stuff in person and hopefully ride one on the trail at some point. I don't think anyone else here is as excited about 32 as I am, given my height and my kookness. Yeah. Anyone got thoughts or feelings or anything there?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
All right.
I'd like to ride one. I don't think it'll be life-changing, but it'd be fun to just, like, go ride a trail on one.
I think it's going to be dope.
I think they're going to be pretty dope.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see if the one thing that I'm really curious about is we know that bike brands love to launch bikes in August for 2020, you know, for the next year. And the one thing that I don't have a magic eight ball on, but I'm not going to be surprised at all, is if that is bumped up to July and these XC bikes are ridden at Leadville. So,
oh, yeah, I bet we'll see them there.
Yeah, I
Man,
think
the way stuff comes in the shop, I wouldn't be surprised if someone like,
I think anyone that's cool enough to have a sort of secret bike probably won't have it outside of the truck until like the morning of.
Yeah, probably.
Or the day before, you know what I mean? So, you know, Keegan didn't put his little aero fins on his front fork until the night before the race after a bunch of stuff was already done. So, yeah. Now, some sticking with Leadville, the 5Dev Shredville.
Oh my God.
Hood mounts.
I don't understand. Kenny, have you seen these? I fucking did. I don't understand.
Like, why?
What the fuck they're for? Why do you want a flat handlebar with hoods? The whole point of a hood is so that you can use the fucking drops. That's the only point. And it's on a mountain bike. What the fuck are we doing? What in the actual fuck are we doing, guys?
I've got two things to say. One, I'll give bike rumor comments. Actually, I'm going to give the person.
I like how people say worst of both worlds.
No. Where did it go? I was going to credit the person. They pretty much said, I don't know, maybe it was on Pink Bike, the person said it, but they're like, given 5Dev's track record with durability and product testing, I wouldn't ride these. So that's number one. I really agree with Kenny on why do you want this, but the real thing that I'm going to say is You can do this a lot cheaper with, because listening to the Silco podcast, they were talking about the ban of drop bars at Leadville. And Josh Portner, I think that was who it was just like, cool. You know what the solution is? You just cut your mountain bike bars down to like 500, and then you hold the inside of the grips and you run a really long stem. He's like, you follow, like, all this is following the letter of the rules of no more drop bars, but you can easily, you know, on a modern mountain bike to get to this same position.
Didn't realize there was a rule about drop bars.
Yeah. So for the longest time, Leadville's been like no forward protrusion, so no bar ends. But now it's like no drop bars. You have to run a flat bar. And you can't run aero bars. And I don't think you can even run, like, I think togs get a little bit of a pass because they're so tiny.
I guess, great. Is this only for the person who built an entire drop bar mountain bike with hydro hoods and blah, 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 and all this shit, and now their shit's illegal? And they don't want to rip all that shit off, so they just put it on a flat bar with the weird thingies.
I guess.
That's a pretty weird small subset of 2.5 people in the entire world.
Well, those people definitely have the money to just slap, you know, an Axis controller and a set of level levers back on the bike.
I do want to be appreciative that we have the ability to buy a weird kook thing. I get it. It's cool that that's an option. But in the real world, like, what in the actual fuck?
Just cut your parts down.
The ergonomics on that looks so poor. The person in that picture looks like they're having the worst time in the world.
They're using road pedals also. I noticed it, like, you can see it in one of the pictures that there's, like, Shimano road pedals.
I'm convinced that people have just fully forgotten what drops are actually for.
Well,
there are a lot of people that have never touched the drops on their drop bar bike.
Yeah, but whatever. So in roadie stuff, Durace releases new wheels. They've got carbon spokes. They're still too heavy. They cost too much money. And why can't we get a sealed bearing?
They've gone to sealed bearings on a few of their wheels now.
Not these.
I did see that Specialized released the Levo RS Works Ultralight. It's got like some stupid light wheels on it, a smaller battery. And it's got a cable actuated dropper, which I actually did change on my bike came with the reverb.
Yeah, if you need a 34.9 150 B1 Axis reverb with controller, hit up your girl.
What'd
She's
you
got
put
one.
On there?
Yeah, I got one. The one up.
Okay. I mean, great. I really like the one up post.
I mean, it saved it was like a half a pound.
Okay, so you did it for weight reasons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't love the controller for the reverb, and I know you can get a different one, but just considering that seat post it worked fine. But yeah, there's just a heavy thing. So I put a cable actuated post on it. This ultralight one has a cable actuated post.
Trick stuff brakes.
Yeah, trick stuff brakes, which mine has motives on it, which have been fine. They have a 200 millimeter rotor. And
put 220s on that bitch.
Well, the thing I'm running into is with the 200 mil rotor, like, I haven't run out of braking power at all. But when you take the front wheel off, like, I put it in the back of my truck because my bike rack is sketchy with e-bikes. And so I just put it in the back of the truck. And so I take my front wheel off, and when I set the fork down on the ground, the brake is like in the dirt with the 200 mil adapter on it.
Oh, you could just go to the old style adapter. That would pull it up. You have a 4-bolt adapter right now. You could go back to the old, like, plus 20 that was just the long bolt style.
Yeah, I guess I could try that and see if it makes a difference.
We definitely have.
Yeah, I could try that, but I was thinking, like, I'd put some, I don't know, some Mavens on it and do 180 rotors and probably have even more braking power with 180s than I do with those brakes and 200s.
Does the 4-bolt adapter, I thought for some reason it offset it upwards, not lower.
No, it goes down.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Because if you have an Epic 8 where you can't change your brake pads without removing the caliper, you can go from because it's 160 native on an Epic 8. The original ones were shipping with the old plus 20 adapter that was the long bolt style. The newer one ship with the newer plus 20 that's a 4-bolt style, and it moves it back and up a little bit, and then the brake bolt clears the top of the chainstay so you can change your brake pads without removing the caliper from the frame.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I might try one of those. It's cheaper than new brakes.
Yep.
Yeah, most of the weight that's lost, they only offer it in like the satin black paint job. So like it doesn't have paint on it. Mine's like the kind of splash, like silver and black, which is pretty fucking cool. I like the paint on it a lot. But this one, no extra paint. It's got trick stuff brakes, a cable actuated seat post. The smaller battery is where they lose most of the weight. It's too
well, and those wheels.
Yeah, it's got like some fucking carbon spoke, the Control SL carbon spoke wheels on it.
It loses 700 grams in wheels.
Yeah.
Which is, that's it. Look, I'm all about light wheels, but like 1,000 gram wheels on a 140, 130 bike that can go mock chicken. Like Andrea's already rung-a-dung her rim going uphill.
Yeah. Like the first time when I was just like, I'm going to put this in fucking turbo mode and just bomb up this hill. I like ran the front wheel into a rock and it was like bonk.
You should put Cushcore in that thing. The ultra light ones front and rear.
Yeah.
It'd be so good.
Do something like that. But it's also got the XXSL rear derailleur versus.
Oh, is yours just XX? God, that's for poor people.
I know. That's the one thing. Transmission works fine. Mine has worked okay. But the fact that I don't have a derailleur hanger.
She's so pissed off about not having a derailleur hanger.
I don't like it because I had to carry.
Bring back GX like, Mechanical.
On some of these, like, backcountry.
It exists, Kenny.
Like the backcountry stuff that I'm doing, like, I got to have something because if I broke some shit off in the places where I'm going, it would be a long fucking ride out or walk out. So I carry a fucking GX cage assembly in my pack. And it's big, and it's heavy, and it's really fucking obnoxious, because I just have to, like, keep it in the box. There's not, like, a good way to carry that other than in the fucking cardboard box. So I've just got a fucking cardboard box with a cage assembly stuffed in my pack instead of a derailleur hanger. So, yeah, like, I might...
But you need to buy three parts.
At some point, I might just put regular axis on there.
Well, no, we have a cassette. You need to buy a chain, which we probably have, and you need to buy an S500. We have an XO derailleur out there. You just need to swap that shit out.
I'll sell you my used GX Mechanical $1,000.
Fuck you, Kenny. Fuck you.
I have a box of NX at the shop. I take that back. It's SX.
Everyone has a box of SX.
The first time I shifted that in like the full power mode, it would just explode and like it would vaporize. It wouldn't even like you wouldn't find the parts.
No,
it would just turn into microplastics like all across the trail.
What would happen is you would shift it and you would have to pull pieces of SX plastic out of your ass cheek.
I'm not exaggerating. We have a box of 50 SX derailleurs, 50 shifters. Most of the cassettes have been sold, but yeah, it's just shifters and derailleurs.
Dude, put those things on the bay for like
$7. They are. They're on there. We sell one a week and we still have 1,000 left.
Yeah. I mean, the transmission has worked okay. It's had its moments, but it usually is because it shifts very loudly because it's very mad that it's doing 1,000 watts when I'm shifting. And I try my best not to do that. I do understand how to not pedal as hard when I shift, but I mean, not pedaling as hard when you're using all of the motor power is still pedaling kind of hard. So, yeah, it's been all right. I'm fine with the pod shifter. I know a lot of people hate it. Like, I've got it pretty dialed in, and I don't have any issues with it. It works, and it's intuitive to use. It was kind of a pain in the ass with the dropper post because I'm used to a lever that, like, that thumb didn't get. Like, you push a button now instead of, like, a lever. But, yeah, with the shifter, it hasn't been an issue. Man, we've been recording for forever now.
Yeah, we should probably stop.
We should, like, have some listener stuff, but we'll do that next week.
Okay.
Have any other... Oh, we should...
You want to talk about, well, real quick, the Hope super high, super short stem?
Oh, yeah, I bet Kenny's excited about that one.
Did you see that one, Kenny?
What is it? Let me look it up.
It is called the...
It's on Pink Bike.
I don't know. I haven't found a name for it.
Here, let me open up the old Pink Bike here. I'm going to search for stem. Let's see how good their search is. Hope releases super short high stack stem.
Yep.
Oh, I love it.
Does it come in both clamp sizes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's freaking
the one
sick.
Thing I can't...
I might actually, I think I'm just going to get like an S5 Levo and put this on there.
The pictures don't really tell me, but I think you would be able to adjust your headset without removing your bars.
I think it is going to become time where we need to figure out a new way to mount handlebars to forks and have stems that are zero.
It looks like there's a hole under the bar in some of those photos.
But look at this photo.
Yeah, like there's a hole right there.
Yeah, but I think that's for the edge of the top cap.
What if they do, what do they call it, a pinion or something? That makes like, what is the right angle gear? What's that thing called?
I don't know.
Anyway, put a little right angle gear thing in there and you can just do it from the back.
God damn it, Kenny.
What about those headset spacers that tighten your stem?
You could do those. I ran those for a minute because I had to do that super kook setup to run a Di2 battery in my stem on a mountain bike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then another quickie, the new Maxxis DHX.
Looks pretty cool.
They're like, hey, people want side knobs. Instead, let's just make... Or people want transition knobs, like intermediate knobs. No, let's just make the middle, like the knobs from the edges closer so it almost has intermediate knobs, but it still doesn't.
Their solution, the solution there is let's not use center knobs.
It's like, guys, we
can have like, all the things. We can have center knobs plus mid knobs plus side knobs. You're allowed to have all three.
It's all mid knob. It's like the mid knob is so big that it is also a center knob.
I mean,
it looks like a good Salida tire.
The worst rolling tire that's ever been manufactured is my educated guess.
It also weighs over 1,500 grams.
It's a downhill casing tire. It's a new, their new downhill casing tire. Which is extra strong.
Holy shit.
And then I have one other quickie. State launched a $1,600 complete titanium track bike that clears 38 millimeter tires. That's kind of dope.
Yeah, if you're a fucking hipster.
Well, first of all, fuck you. Second of all, you know what? Fuck you again. Never mind. Shut that shit down.
Oh, man, I haven't pulled up patrons at all.
Jesus. Oh, yeah, you're in a rush, and no, patrons aren't even pulled up.
I was in a rush when we were... getting started and in theory
I have some new tires on the way for the mountain bike that I can talk about when I get them and install them, which might be a really long time for lots of reasons because I just installed new tires on my mountain bike, but I got some, supposedly I got some demos of something different, so we'll see.
All right,
are you gonna see how good they work supporting your bike in the garage?
Pretty much my bike just sits in a stand now.
All right, yeah, cool.
I'm gonna put some different tires on my e-bike for sure.
By the way, I've owned that Kinevo SL a really fucking long time now. It's crazy. I think I bought that thing in 2022,
2023.
All right. All right. We ready?
Sure.
All right. So our patrons, $10 a month or more. We got John, Kurt, Jim, the fucked up trike guy, Burt Reynolds, Krusty Stash, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds, Mustache, Taper Bore Pro, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans, Ray C,
Mike Jones,
Cam Irish One, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, Josh, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Liz Lemon, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Mycoxa, Floppin', Ty, Noah, Cool Beans,
ooh, she nasty,
Jake, Frank the Tank, Goat Roper, Redacted, Full Face Kenny Loggins, flying into the danger zone on an Amazon e-bike. At $11.11 per month, what is the difference between a garbanzo bean and a chickpea? Patamelon Disco Ball at $14 Australian. And at $20 a month, the return of Andrea's Whore Moaning Podcast, Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench, Harley at 30, Andrea Knows About Shit at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, purveyors of top shelf shenanigans and cycling events. At 50.
Say the line, Kenny.
Shut it down.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening and good night.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.